Luke chapter number 22, Luke chapter number 22 here tonight. Chapter number 22, verses 54 through 62. Thankful again for the opportunity to preach. And, you know, there's a certain level of, and I'm not saying anything by myself, but there's a certain level of man that you allow into the pulpit to preach. And I'm glad that, you know, Pastor Alquist counts me worthy, and the other men here that preach. Not that we're worthy in it of ourselves, but in the calling that God has placed on us. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity. We got back safely. I want to thank the Lord for that. Safely from South Carolina. The weather down there was very nice and sunny and warm. And but then we got back here and it's nice and sunny and warm. Brother Ben Riley had said for the week that we were going to be gone, he said, it's going to be so nice. And I was like, wait a second. It's going to be so nice while I'm gone. What do you mean? And he said, no, the weather. The weather's going to be real nice. And then, and so y'all probably all thought the same thing I did. But yeah, the weather's been very nice, especially the past few days. But I hear this is called false spring. And so get ready for second winter. It'll be here soon. And it'll be here with a vengeance. So we are taking advantage of the nice weather that we have right now. And thank the Lord for it. Luke chapter number 22, verses 54 through 62. is where we will be reading here tonight for our text. The Bible says in verse number 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he declined him, saying, woman, I know not him. I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, another after another confidently affirmed him, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not whom thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for bringing us here safely here tonight. Thank you for, Lord, giving us the ability to be here, the provisions you've made for us, Lord, the provisions you make for us each and every day, the mercies you show us each morning. Lord, thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for us, Lord, that we'd have the opportunity to meet together with a hope. Lord, a hope for heaven and a hope that you will return one day, Lord. And I pray that you would just use the message here tonight, Lord, to touch hearts and change lives, Lord. I pray that you just help us to examine ourselves here tonight, Lord, as we look at these verses. And Father, I pray that we'd leave edified and changed. Lord, if there's one here that does not know you as personal Savior, Lord, I pray that something would be said or something that's already been sung, Lord, would prick that heart, Lord, that they would be gloriously saved here tonight. Well, thank you and praise you and be careful to give you all the honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice the phrase there in verse number 61. It says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. My question tonight is, how do I look? How do I look? Don't answer out loud, please. But how do I look? This is a jacket that my father-in-law gave me. This is a tie that I got not too long ago. This is a shirt my father-in-law gave me. This is a pair of pants that I was blessed to get on the suit run. And this is a pair of shoes that somebody gave me. And I'm wearing a belt somebody gave me. So I'm just, everybody gave me everything that I've got on, and I thank the Lord for it. But this is new. This is all new stuff to me, at least. How many of y'all know how that is? You know, it's new to you at least, so it's new. And so, how do I look tonight? How do you look? We focus so much, and you may think this is sounding an awful lot like Pastor's tract, how do I look? And I will possibly refer to that some as we go through the message, but how do I look tonight? How many of you have been asked that question by your wife, perhaps? She says, honey, how do I look? She'll come out in this new dress or new thing that she's gotten, and she'll ask, how do I look, honey? And man, that's a trap. All right. Don't ever be honest. You may not like it. You may not like that color, but you can say, oh, it looks good on you. You can make anything look good. Or say something very clever. Oh, you could make anything look nice, honey. You know, you just be very careful with that question. How many of you have gotten the look? Kids especially. For adults, you think back as a child. I remember when I played soccer or football, or I played everything under the sun as far as sports and inside of a gym. So I played every sport there was. I just couldn't get enough of them. And I remembered after practice was over or after the game was over, oftentimes I would want to hang out and I'd want to talk to my friends and, you know, cut up and things like that. And I knew not to look at mom or I would get the look. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the look. And so kids, if you want to keep playing, just don't look at mom. Just don't ever look at her and you're fine. You can keep going. And so I remember getting the look many times. Well, that's what Peter gets here. And we can't even fathom, I cannot fathom the look that Christ gave Peter. I can't imagine the feeling that must have overcome Peter as the Lord looked at him in verse number 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I can't imagine that. I've been looked at before with disappointment. My parents have looked at me with disappointment before. I'm sure at some point y'all may look at me with some disappointment. I don't know. I'm not so high that I won't mess up here and there. My wife, I'm sure, looks at me with disappointment every morning when we wake up. But she just, you have those looks of disappointment. But Peter, we're going to try tonight, not that we can imagine it, but we're going to try tonight to imagine the feeling and the look that Jesus gave to Peter. This is the account, of course, of Peter denying he ever knew the Lord. This passage illustrates Peter's lack of courage and loyalty to Jesus in the face of danger. Despite his earlier claims that he would never deny Christ, Peter succumbed to fear and betrayed his Lord. Of course, this serves as a reminder for us as believers to stay steadfast in our faith, even in the midst of persecutions and trials, James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. 2 Corinthians 12:9, the beginning of the verse, it says, "And he said unto me," this is Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." But you see, God's strength can only be made perfect in weakness when we take the second half of that verse. It says, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You have to glory in those trials and infirmities because they're for Christ's sake. He's wanted to teach you something. You glory in Him, and then His power can be made perfect. Now, even in the midst of this, Peter did like many of us have done before. And tonight, your halo is not going to shine so brightly as you know you may think. All of us have probably, in some way, shape, or form, not openly and outwardly denied Christ, but maybe they ask you, "Well, why do you dress that way?" And you just say, "Oh, well, I've always dressed this way." Well, that's a wonderful opportunity to witness and say, "Well, hey, the Lord saved me. That's why I don't dress this way anymore. That way anymore. Why don't you ever get in on those wrong jokes? Why don't you? I was just raised differently." That's an answer you may want to give, but really, the answer you should say is, "Because I'm born again, because I'm saved, I'm a Christian." And so, without really meaning to, in a way, you deny the Lord. And so, we need to be very careful of that. We freeze up. How many of us have frozen up when we get asked a tough question about maybe the Lord? Or we get nervous and we try to find a way out of the question. Every one of us, I'm sure, has been like Peter from time to time. But as I said, notice verse 61, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." My question to you tonight is, how do you look? I want you to ask the Lord tonight, ask the Holy Spirit tonight, say, "Lord, how do I look? How do I look tonight? If I saw you face to face right now and you looked at me, how do I look? If the Lord came back tonight and saw you, how do you look?" Turn to Matthew chapter number 26. We'll start there and we'll get a little bit of groundwork set. Matthew chapter 26, verses 30 through 35. To really see how this all started for Peter. What were the mistakes he made that led up to this time in his life? Some things that we can watch out for. Number one, his confidence wasn't in Christ. Verses 30 through 35. "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Number one, Peter's confidence wasn't in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Romans 12:3, For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. See, Peter, he's saying, Lord, I know your word says this. I know you're saying this to me, but I think I just know a little bit more than you. I have a little bit more confidence in myself than I do the words, the literal words spoken by Christ. He says, I know you're saying I'm going to deny you, but Lord, I'm afraid this is your first sin. I'm afraid this is the first time you've told a lie. This is the first time you're wrong, Lord, because I won't do it. I just will not deny you. And his confidence wasn't in the words of Christ. And so we have to be very careful not to be too confident in ourselves. As I read in Romans 12:3, it says that every man is not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So many of us, we like to think of ourselves as something special. And let me tell you tonight that we are nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. We are nothing without Him. We are nothing without the Holy Spirit. We are nothing without God. And so we should look at ourselves as nothing. But I also want you to think about this. The verse says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There is a measure you should think of yourself. Now, again, you shouldn't be arrogant. You shouldn't be prideful. But you know what? You're a child of the King. Amen? You're saved. My God, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm a child of the King. I'm on my way to heaven. I have real estate and glory. Those are things that you can think about when you think of yourself. But remember, they're not of your own self. They're of Christ, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you have to be careful how you handle that. But don't think of yourself as just dirt all the time. Remember, you are a child of the King, and Christ has saved you. And so firstly, we see his confidence wasn't in Christ. And so we read this just the other day. Our pastor did. He didn't read all of this. But the neglected heart will soon be a heart overrun with worldly thoughts. The neglected life will soon become a moral chaos. The church that is not jealously protected by mighty intercession and sacrificial labors will before long become the abode of every evil bird and the hiding place for unsuspected corruption. But this is what he read. The creeping wilderness will soon take over that church that trusts in its own strength and forgets to watch and pray. He read that just the other day. A.W. Tozer said that. And so what he's saying is when you start to rely on self, when you start to put your confidence in yourself, you're very much so treading on thin ice. The lake has already, it seems like it's already unfrozen from all these, has thawed out from all of the warm days that we've had. And so you're treading on thin ice when you start to put your confidence all in yourself. Because you know what the Lord will do? He'll say, okay, you deal with it. If your confidence is just in yourself, you can handle it. You go ahead and take care of those things. And so his confidence wasn't in Christ, it was in self, and then his faith wasn't in the Father. Romans tells us, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. His ability wasn't in the Almighty. Luke 22:33, this is before the account that we just read in Luke 22. It says, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. He has so much confidence, so much faith in his own ability, his own self, and he has no clue what he's really going to end up doing when it comes time to show forth his true colors, as it were, how he truly believes about Christ and how much his love really is there for him. And so when faith in ourselves, our bank account, our family, and our decision-making creeps into our lives, get ready, God will put you in your place. He will put you in your place as soon as you start to trust in yourself. Your faith is in yourself. How many of you like it when the bank account is full? Amen. Y'all are a bunch of liars, right? Everybody's hands should go up. I enjoy it when the bank account's full. I appreciate that when the Lord provides that way, or maybe when I just don't spend more than I should and now the bank account has some money in it. I appreciate that, and it's a good thing. But we're not supposed to put our faith and trust in those things. The material possessions that we get, our family, So many of us, our faith may be in our family, our faith may be, in different things. And when we start putting our faith in anything other than Christ and what He can do for us and He'll provide, get ready, God will put you in your faith, in your place. Living by faith is a good way to keep your joy. How many of you stress over bills from time to time? I have. You stress over bills from time to time. You stress over this, that, and the other thing. It's a whole lot easier. I'm not saying it's always easy, but it's a whole lot easier to say, Lord, we need your help, and I know you've got it. We've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And so you put your faith in Christ, and it'll keep your joy. It's a good way to keep your joy in this life. Think about the birds. The birds. The Bible tells us about the sparrow. What do the birds do every morning, at least from what I can tell, when it's not freezing cold? What are they doing? They're singing. The birds are singing. They don't care who's in the White House. They're singing. They don't care what big problems going on in the church. They're singing. They don't care what big problems going on in your family. They're still singing. They get up every morning and they sing. And I started to think, why on earth do these birds sing every morning? Well, Matthew 10, 29 through 31, it says, And are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. It says two sparrows are sold for a farthing. That's not a whole lot. That's just a little tiny bit. In 2024, the cost to make one penny was 3.7 cents. How does that make any... That doesn't work. You know, that doesn't work at all. That it costs 3.7 pennies to make one penny. That's only done in America. Amen? For a nickel, it costs 13.8 cents. Now, how does that make any sense? No pun intended. How does it make any? That just doesn't work. But that's how much these sparrows are worth. They're worth next to nothing. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. He says, you know what? They're not going to even die without me noticing. How many of you have ever hit a bird driving down the road? I don't aim for them. And I told this story the other day in Sunday school. But my dad one time, he was driving the church bus, and bus drivers don't get any ideas. But there were some buzzards on the side of the road, and they were eating on something. And he decided to I don't think he was really trying to hit one, but he swerved toward it just a little bit, and all of a sudden he hit it, and it rolled. And we all in the back of the bus, we hear it rolling on the roof of the bus all the way to the back, and he hit a buzzard. Well, guess what? God notices that. He saw that, and I'm sure punished my father for it, but... He saw that buzzard killed, right? He's paying so much attention to just the little things. Even the sparrows, they're not even worth anything. In fact, in Luke, it talks about that it says five sparrows are sold for two farthings. Now, here we are in Matthew, two sparrows are sold for a farthing. And then two more is sold for two farthings. And then he says, you know what, I'm just going to throw a free one in there. That's how worthless they are. But Christ is constantly paying attention to them. He says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. For some of you tonight, that would take very little time to count. But for others, it would take a lot longer. But he says, that's how much he pays attention to these sparrows. He wants you to have your faith in him. It'll keep your joy. The birds, they wake up in the morning and they sing because you know what? They're just relying on God. And that's what we have to do. If you want to keep joy in your life, just rely on God. Put your faith in Him. Peter doesn't do that. His confidence is in self, that he's going to make the right decision. His faith isn't in the Father. But turn back to Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22, and we'll actually get into the main points of the message here. Luke chapter number 22, verses 54 through 62. So we see that Peter, his beginning of his denial and his downfall all started with him trusting not in Christ and not in the literal words that Jesus said and spoke, but in himself. His confidence is in self. His faith wasn't in the Father. So firstly, we'll look at verse 54. The first point here tonight is he started afar off. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. He was at a safe distance. He tried to stay away from the wrong crowd. He's at a safe distance. He's trying to keep his distance from the world, his distance from these people. He was just on the outskirts of the wrong crowd. And again, you can also look at this and say, that he was afar off from Christ as well. But he's afar off from the wrong crowd. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye what? Separate. It doesn't say just be on the outskirts and just a little ways away or a little afar off. It says, no, be ye separate. And you know what? I'm not just separate because I'm a Baptist. I'm separate because I'm born again. I'm separate because I'm saved and I'm a child of God and I'm a Christian. That's why I'm separated. I'm not separated because I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. Now, I understand the title and I understand the label that that puts on us as Bible believers. But remember, we're not just separate because of that. We're separate because we're Christians. So what that means is that all these people that I've seen throughout the years and seen online that'll leave the independent Baptist church and they'll go to all these contemporary churches and all these things, all their standards start going and I'm thinking, well, why did your standards change? Because you had them because you're a Christian, not because you're just a Baptist. You have to understand that. Your standards are not just because you're Baptist, it's because you're a Christian. So it says, come out from among them and be ye separate. He wasn't separated. He was just afar off. He was able to see what was going on, and he kind of wanted to be a part of it, and you'll see that as we go through the passage. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You may think that being at work and hearing all those cuss words and all that wrong music all the time doesn't affect you, but it says, be not deceived. I'm telling you, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Whenever I've hung around my dad, and I hung around him for a long time, I grew up with him. And so when I was around him all the time, there are things that I've picked up on that he says. And Patty will make fun of me for it all the time. She'll say, you sound just like your father. And you said that just like your dad. And so the more I spend time around him, the more like him I talk. And I'll just say random things whenever I... she says that I say dollars weird. I'll say like $50. $50. I don't know. It's just things that she picks on me for. And so whenever I'm around him, I pick up on his mannerisms and his things that he says. And it's without really trying to. If we were down in the South for longer than a week, I'm sure I would have come back and I'd have had more of an accent when I came back. I would have talked a little differently because of the accent down there. And so the people that you hang around, they do change the way you think and change the way you you talk. And so be careful who you hang around. Whenever I got into a truck at work down in South Carolina at the Granite Company I would turn it to the Christian radio station. And especially if I was driving, they had no choice. They were going to listen to the Christian radio station. But even if I wasn't, if they said, well, no, I don't want to listen to that, I say, then we're not listening to anything. Sorry, I guess we won't listen to music, we'll just talk. And then if I got a chance, I'd witness to them and they'd say, turn the music on. You know, so they didn't want to hear that. So you try to stay away from that evil communication. And so I remember I would pray, and this is something you can do, I would pray when I get out of those vehicles. I'd leave it to the Christian radio station and I'd say, Lord, I pray that someone would get in here and get saved. That there'd be preaching on or something. They get saved. I don't know if anybody ever did or ever will from those things. But, you know, you got to be careful the evil communication you put yourself around. Proverbs 4:14-15, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. He says, avoid it, pass not by it. Well, what's Peter doing? He's passing by it. He's standing just afar off. He's right there near it. Turn from it and pass away. Do you find yourself in those same places? Not telling the jokes, not telling the wrong jokes, but maybe listening in. Not drinking the alcohol, but being kind of surrounded by it or surrounded by those that do, and they're talking about their time that they had. Not turning on the country music station, or I guess I'm in the north, so not turning on, I guess, the rock and roll station or something like that. But listening as if nothing were wrong. See, Peter's problem wasn't that he found himself around these things, but rather his mindset when he was influenced by them. He doesn't even think that it's going to affect him. And so we live in the world. How can we avoid all these things? We have to be very careful and not to envy the world. That, as Pastor said, they make it look good. The booze commercials, they'll make it look real good. They're partying up. They're having a good time, but they don't show the tail end of that. And praise the Lord, I've never dealt with the tail end of that. My wife's never dealt with the tail end of that, and I think the Lord for it. That's something, children, you should be very thankful for. There will probably come a time in your life where you think you don't have as much of a testimony as somebody who has gotten into those things. You have just as much of the Holy Spirit as they do, and you got just as saved as they did. And so you just stay away from it. It's no good for you. Amen? And so do not put yourself in those places, and don't envy the world. Peter, he's standing afar off, but notice verse number 55, point number 2, he sat down. Verse number 55, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. He decides to join in on that evil crowd, the wrong people. He decided just to step a little closer. Notice they didn't bring the fire to Peter. He took himself to the fire. And the world, it seems like now, they're bringing themselves into the church, but I'm afraid the church is bringing the world in. It's not just the world stepping into the church. No, in this passage, they're not changing where they're at. Peter has to come over to them. I think that the church is inviting them, saying, hey, bring that in here. Bring that good music in here. Bring the black paint and paint everything. I went to a soccer banquet one time, and we walked in. It was at this church, and they had garage doors in the back, and they had like graffiti painted on the garage doors, and it was black on the walls back there. And I wondered, what kind of church is this? This is, and we weren't. There was no music or any kind of church service. It was just for a soccer banquet. But I wondered, what in the world is this? You got to be very careful not to bring the world into the church or bring the world into your home. And so that's what Peter's doing. He's stepping toward them. They don't move for him. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Maybe you found yourself in the wrong crowd here tonight. Maybe you find yourself with the wrong friends. Do your friends see more of themselves in you than they see Christ in you? You have to be very careful that your coworkers, they don't see more of themselves in you. They see more Christ in you. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed. That word conformed is also mentioned in Romans chapter 8. Well, what are we supposed to be conformed to? The image of Christ. That is what God and the Holy Spirit are constantly trying to do, is make us more and more like Christ. And so the only way to be conformed to somebody is you have to be familiar with them. You have to be very familiar with them. I've seen people, they work on a certain basketball shot because they want to shoot just like Michael Jordan, all right? Well, what do? They study Michael Jordan. They want to shoot just like Steph Curry. Well, what do? They focus and they watch just how he shoots. They want to swing the club just like Tiger Woods. Well, what do? They watch him. They study him. If you want to become conformed to Christ, learn who he is. You have to study who Christ is. How can you become somebody? How can you be conformed to somebody you don't even hardly know? You only know him through salvation, and you don't know the true ways that he handled situations and the wisdom that he can show you. This whole book is a beautiful picture, and it's everything. It's literally everything God wants you to know about himself. And we have a hard time reading it, don't we? We have a hard time sitting down and reading it from day to day. But notice he sat down with them. Well, why did he sit down? Well, firstly, it says they kindled a fire. When they kindled a fire, I love to sit around a campfire. I love to do that. My dad does that, and I've hung around him, and so that's probably why I love to do it. But he'll sit around a campfire till 12, 1 in the morning when we go camping and just enjoy it and relax. You know what I think that represents? It was comfortable there. A lot of times, you'll feel more comfortable for a time in the world. It's more comfortable to just fit in. He wouldn't be left out. It seems so innocent. It's just a fire. I'm just going to go warm my hands at the fire. It was cold. And he says, you know what? Where I'm at right now is just not working out. It's kind of cold. So I'm going to go over here and I'm just going to warm my hands by this fire. But notice again, in that same verse, number 2, it says, and we're set down together. So they all kindle this fire, and Peter sees it. It looks comfortable. And then they all sit down together. He didn't want to seem different. He wanted to fit in. How many of you ever just get tired of standing? It's very hard to continue to stand as a father, as a mother, as a spouse. Maybe sometimes you just get tired of standing. You're just worn out. And you say, you know what? This crowd, they're beating me down. They're attacking me. That's why you have to pray so much. You have to pray for our pastor because he has decisions that he has to make. And it can be easy if he's not careful and he's not really listening to the Spirit of God to get weary and be able to say, you know what? I'm just going to sit down on this thing. I'm just going to give this up. You know, he's fought for many years. 40 years he has fought for this church, and he's fought for the things of the Bible, and he's fought for Christ. I hope that you pray for him. I hope I do. I hope that you pray for him daily, and you ask the Lord to show him and teach him the things for this church, because it'd be very easy to just step down and stand down and sit down on a lot of issues, because it gets tiring. It does wear you out. It's weary. You should know this for fathers. You should know this maybe with your teenagers, how difficult it is to just keep standing. Maybe with your children, your young children, it's hard to just keep standing. You know, Caden, if he's screaming about something, he's upset because I told him no, or, you know, and it'd be so easy to just say, you know what, here, take it back, it's fine. Or just hand him I saw a video online, the baby must have not been any more than about 6 months old, and they took the cell phone from the baby, and the baby fell on his back and started having a conniption fit. Started screaming and crying because the cell phone was taken away from them. Don't do that with your kids. Don't teach them that. And so the things that you have to stand on as a father and as a mother, you stand. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They decided a long time ago, when they got into the midst of the battle, they're going to stand. They're going to stay standing. And you have to be very careful. You have to stay standing in these things. And Peter, he sees it's comfortable by the fire. And he sees them sit down, so he decides to sit down with him. He's tired. And I know for us, you may be tired tonight. You may be weary in the battle. And I know it's going to be hard, but you have to stand. As Pastor said not long ago, there's the next generation to come, and we have to be standing for them. You have to stand for them. So firstly, we notice that he started afar off. Secondly, we saw that he sat down with them. But thirdly, I want you to see he stayed down. Verse number 59. We'll start in verse number 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. Notice, and about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. It's been about an hour, and he stayed by the fire. He stayed sitting with these people that keep asking him, aren't you with Christ? Weren't you one of them? And he says, No. I'm not a follower of Christ. I have nothing to do with Christ. You'll find in the other gospel accounts that what he starts to do is he begins to curse. And that's you have to be very careful the language that you use as a Christian, because the first thing Peter goes to say, I'm of the world, is his mouth. That's the first thing he uses. He says, you know what? I'm tired of this, and I'm going to curse God. And I'm going to curse, and you'll believe that I'm of you. I'm of the world. But verse 59, at the space of 1 hour, he had been there a while, but he decided to stay. Maybe you've had the chance to leave the situation you're in, the crowd you're in, the group that you're in, or the friends that you have, but you haven't gotten up yet. You haven't left. Maybe you haven't even been looking for a way to be a light to those people. Maybe you haven't even been looking for opportunities to reach them with the gospel. Have you denied the Lord? Again, not by mouth, but by deed. You know, faith, I read this just the other day. Faith is a verb. Faith is a verb. If you have faith in God, you're going to have actions that go along with that. Your faith, not that it requires actions, not that it requires works, but we should be good works Christians. Amen? Not to save us, but to be used of God. We have to have good works that go behind our faith. Your actions matter. Do they see Jesus in you? The Lord turned and looked at him as Peter, he's sitting over there. He's kindled this fire, or they've kindled this fire, and he decides, he goes over and he sits down with them and he's talking, and they come up to him and say, "Hey, aren't you with Christ? Aren't you one that was his disciples?" And he says, No, not me, man. I'm not one of them." And then another person, a lady comes by, the maid, and he says, "No, ma'am, I'm not one of them." And then the next man comes to him and he says, "Finally, you know what? The only way I can convince these people is I'm going to just curse God. I'm just going to have to curse, and I'm going to have to change my entire personality in person." And so he changes who he is. And then all of a sudden, he hears the cock crow, he hears the rooster crow, and he looks up, and there's Jesus. And he turns and looks at him. I can't imagine the look that Peter must have gotten. Just imagine the most disappointing look you've ever gotten from your parent, ever gotten from a grandparent, ever gotten from your pastor, ever gotten from anybody. And you can't, I don't know what you'd have to multiply it by. To see right before Christ is going to go to the cross, and you know, "I denied him." And he looks at him. And what does Peter do? He goes out in verse number 62. "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." If the Lord came back tonight, how would he see you? How do you look before God tonight? In the situation you're in right now, spiritually. I've heard it said many times before, you are as spiritual as you want to be. You're as close to God as you want to be. How spiritual are you tonight? How do you look? Be very careful how you look. Not just on the outside. We get the nice suits. We go on the suit run, get the nice suits. We get the pants and the belts and the shoes. And ladies, you go get your hair done and get your nails done and things like that. We should care about the outside, but remember, God's looking on the heart. How do you look? He was used. Look at verse 62. Give us some hope tonight. Verse 62, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Maybe tonight you found yourself, if Christ did come back and look at you, you'd be very, very disappointed. You would be upset that Christ returned. You would find yourself in the wrong mindset, the wrong state. You haven't been trying to win your family. You haven't been trying to do different things. In verse 62, he went out and he wept bitterly. You know, within just 2 months, Peter preached Pentecost. He was used in a mighty, mighty way by God because he went out and he wept bitterly. If you look at Judas, what did he do? He showed remorse, but he didn't show repentance. He went out and hanged himself after he had denied the Lord and gave him up. But you see, Peter, he goes out and weeps bitterly, and you know that he repented of his wrong and of his sin, because later on you'll see him preaching in Pentecost. All you have to do is go to God with a repentant heart tonight. How do you look before the God of heaven tonight? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Perhaps tonight you started in the wrong direction. You're kind of hanging around the wrong crowd, hanging around the wrong people. You don't really know what you're going to do as you get a little closer. Maybe tonight you've sat down with them. You found a comfortable place in the wrong crowd. Or perhaps tonight you've been there a while. I can tell you, if the Lord came back tonight and looked at you, what would he see? I would hate to be in the wrong place when the Lord comes back. I'd hate to have my life in the wrong way when the Lord comes back. But especially tonight, I'd hate to not know Christ as my Savior if he came back and looked at me. To know that you're forever going to be lost. The Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." You see, the outside can look great, but the inside is truly what matters. If you want to gain access to Christ and you want to gain access to heaven, you have to go through the righteousness of Christ. Perhaps tonight you need to be saved. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Perhaps tonight you feel that you maybe have looked the part, maybe you've been acting the part for a while on the outside and you don't look good on the inside. Maybe tonight you just lift up your hand and say, "I know that I'm on my way to hell tonight, that I'm not saved, that I need to be saved." If you know that you need to be saved here tonight, you can just slip up your hand. Raise your hand tonight and say, I know I'm lost and I need to be saved. Anybody like that here tonight? Lord God, we thank you so much for saving us, Lord. Lord, as it seems tonight, everybody here is saved. And Lord, I pray that we would have the right look about us, not just outwardly, but inwardly. Lord, that we wouldn't be denying you. And Lord, if you were to look at us here tonight, Lord, that we would be found faithful in your service. Lord, I pray tonight that if there is still one that does not know you as personal Savior, Lord, that they would come to know you here tonight. Lord, we thank you and praise you, and we pray that you just bless the invitation time, for it's in Christ's name I do pray. Amen. All stand and take your hymnals and turn to page 594. Pastor, you come for the invitation.
We're going to sing this invitational song. Perhaps God spoke to your heart tonight. Why don't you come and talk to him about it? All right? Don't delay. Don't put it off. This is the place. Now's the time. You come on the first, 594.